VOA 1, The Hits.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English.
Today on the program, you will hear from Dan Novak, Brian Lynn, and Gregory Stockel. Later, Katie Weaver and Ashley will bring us the next part in our series on America's national parks. But first, here is Dan Novak.
South Korea and the United States held an air power exercise involving 20 fighter planes Tuesday. The Allies' latest demonstration of military strength comes as North Korea is showing signs it may soon test nuclear weapons. The training was held in the sea off South Korea's western coast. South Korea's Ministry of National Defense said it was an answer to North Korea's launch of 8 ballistic missiles Sunday. Pictures released by South Korea's military showed the airplanes flying in a small triangular formation. The exercise involved 16 South Korean fighter planes, including the F-35A, F-15K, and KF-16, and 4 F-16 fighters from the U.S. Air Force, said South Korean officials. South Korea and the U.S. showed its strong ability and willingness to strike against North Korea's provocations quickly and accurately, the South Korean military said. The two countries are watching for further actions by North Korea, it added. North Korea on Sunday fired 8 short-range ballistic missiles into the sea over a 35-minute period, South Korea's military said. It was North Korea's 18th round of missile launches this year. On Monday, the United States and South Korea answered by launching 8 missiles of their own into the ocean. South Korea's new conservative president, Yoon Suk-yeol, has promised to answer quickly and firmly to what he calls North Korean provocations. During a meeting last month, Yoon and U.S. President Joe Biden discussed holding larger joint military exercises. There had been fewer exercises under the previous South Korean government. There are also signs that North Korea could soon carry out its 7th nuclear test. Another nuclear test could further raise tensions in the area. Rafael Mariano Grossi is head of the International Atomic Energy Agency. He said Monday that one of the tunnel entrances has been opened at North Korea's nuclear test site. That may be in preparation for a nuclear test, Grossi said. Such a test, he said, would contravene UN Security Council resolutions and would be a cause for serious concern. North Korea is in the middle of one of its busiest years ever for weapons tests. It is attempting to make progress on a weapons development wish list created by leader Kim Jong-un in 2021. I'm Dan Novak.
Mexico says the United States discriminated against Cuba, Venezuela, and Nicaragua by excluding them from an upcoming leaders gathering. Mexican President Andrés Manuel López Obrador said Monday he would not attend the Summit of the Americas in Los Angeles, California. López Obrador noted that the U.S. had not invited all of the area's leaders. He said there can't be Summit of the Americas if not all countries are taking part. López Obrador also said he would meet with U.S. President Joe Biden in July. The decision to cut Cuba, Venezuela, and Nicaragua from the meeting was due to concerns about human rights and a lack of democracy in the three nations, a top U.S. official said. Mexico is sending Foreign Minister Marcelo Ebrard to the gathering. On Tuesday, he sharply criticized the United States. Ebrard's opinion piece appeared in the Mexican newspaper Excelsior. He wrote that the U.S. does not treat countries equally in connection to their human rights situations. The so-called democratic clause, Ebrard wrote, is used when it is convenient to the U.S. He pointed to the country's membership in the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, or ASEAN, as an example. Among ASEAN's members are military-ruled Myanmar and Vietnam under single-party rule. U.S. officials said the meeting is for nations that have strong democratic and human rights records. The summit is taking place in the U.S. for the first time since the first such gathering in Miami, Florida, in 1994. The U.S. wants to regain its place as a regional leader. It is expected to share concerns and ideas at the meeting about China's growing influence. President Joe Biden will likely seek support for efforts aimed at blocking that growing power. A U.S. official said the decision to ban Cuba, Nicaragua, and Venezuela only came after weeks of thought. Ned Price is a spokesperson for the U.S. State Department. He said, "The U.S. understands Mexico's concerns, but those three nations are not a strong example of democratic leadership." Without López Obrador, some observers wonder how productive the meeting will be. One of the main subjects of the talks is how to slow migration into the U.S. from the border with Mexico. A U.S. official, however, said the Mexican president's absence would not hurt the talks. There will be 23 leaders present, which is close to the number at past summits. One U.S. lawmaker, Senator Robert Menendez of New Jersey, said López Obrador's absence would hurt the relationship between Mexico and the United States. One leader who will attend is Brazilian President Jair Bolsonaro. He had seemed unsure whether to accept the invitation at first. The ban of Nicaragua and Venezuela has been talked about recently, with Cuba's President Miguel Díaz-Canel saying he would not go even if invited. Cuba called the decision to ban the three countries discriminatory and unacceptable. Both Venezuelan leader Nicolas Maduro and Nicaraguan leader Daniel Ortega were not invited. The U.S. instead invited opposition leaders and activists to attend. The Biden administration said it expects representatives for Venezuelan opposition leader Juan Guaido to attend either in person or over a video connection. While most leaders from nations in the Americas will be in Los Angeles, the pushback has observers wondering if the U.S. will continue to be influential in Central and South America. Some of the other discussion subjects expected include a pandemic recovery partnership, reform of the Inter-American Development Bank, and a $300 million plan for regional food security. I'm Katie Weaver.
A company that controls the name and image of Elvis Presley has warned wedding service companies in Las Vegas not to hold ceremonies centered around the singer. The licensing company, Authentic Brands Group, has sent cease and desist letters to several wedding chapels, the Las Vegas Review-Journal reports. A cease and desist order is a legally enforceable order from a court or government agency that directs a person or organization to stop an activity. The letter states that the company will no longer permit unapproved use of Presley's name, likeness, voice image, or other materials related to the music star. The letter also said that Elvis, Elvis Presley, and the King of Rock and Roll are legally protected names. Las Vegas, Nevada is a popular place for people to get married, and many wedding service companies in the city offer Elvis-themed ceremonies. Some companies say removing Elvis elements from their offerings will greatly harm their business. Kayla Collins operates Las Vegas Elvis Wedding Chapel.com and the Little Chapel of Hearts with her husband. "That's our bread and butter," she told the Associated Press. "I don't get it. We were just hitting our stride again through COVID, then this happens." To hit one's stride means to begin doing something effectively again after a slow start. Lynn Goya is a local official who has led marketing campaigns that sought to position Las Vegas as a wedding center. She said the order for chapels to stop using Elvis elements could not have come at a worse time. The city has suffered from a lack of visitors during the COVID-19 pandemic. The city's wedding industry brings in about $2 billion a year. Officials say many wedding ceremonies have Elvis themes. "It might destroy a portion of our wedding industry," Goya said. "A number of people might lose their livelihood." In a recent statement, Authentic Brands Group said it has strong relationships with Elvis performing artists and fan festivals. The company added that it does not want to close all chapels offering Elvis-themed ceremonies in Las Vegas. "We are seeking to partner with each of these small businesses to ensure that their use of Elvis's name, image, and likeness are officially licensed and authorized," Authentic Brands Group said. The company also oversees licensing issues for big names like movie star Marilyn Monroe and boxer Muhammad Ali. Presley has long-standing ties to Las Vegas. His 1964 movie, Viva Las Vegas, led to a music hit of the same name that became the city's unofficial theme. In July of 1969, the Star redefined Las Vegas residency shows with live performances at the Las Vegas International Hotel. The show was supposed to last only 4 weeks, but it ended up continuing for more than 600 shows. It ended in December 1976. Presley himself got married in Las Vegas in 1967 to his wife Priscilla. Kent Ripley owns a business called Elvis Weddings. He said he has never had to deal with this kind of issue during his 25 years performing as Elvis. "They want to protect the Elvis brand," Ripley said. "But what are they protecting by taking Elvis away from the public?" I'm Brian Lynn.
The recent mass shooting at an elementary school in Uvalde, Texas, has brought new attention to the issue of how to keep children in American schools safe. The attack by a teenaged gunman on May 24th killed 19 students and 2 teachers. Many details remain unclear. Many measures have been proposed to prevent gun violence at schools in America. Democratic Party lawmakers have called for banning some kinds of guns, increased security investigations of gun buyers, and other measures. Republican Party lawmakers have supported increased security for schools, including permitting volunteer teachers to carry weapons. Many years ago, Wayne LaPierre, the head of the National Rifle Association, a gun rights group, spoke in support of more guns. He said, "The only thing that stops a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun." Many teachers, however, do not support the idea of being armed. A 2018 opinion study by the Gallup organization found that 73% of American teachers did not want to carry guns in school. AJ Allegra has been a public school teacher in the city of New Orleans for 15 years. He said, "Children, teachers, and education belong in schools, not guns. Imagine your oldest teacher when you were in school firing a gun several times within feet of 25 kids. The image is as preposterous as the idea." Jenna Whitesell Carson has worked at a public high school in South Carolina for 4 years. She said she was appalled by the idea of arming teachers to prevent future school shootings. "My first thought was that this is not at all what I signed up for," Carson told VOA. "I became a school librarian to educate young minds, not to carry a gun." She added, "My second thought was that they definitely don't pay us enough for this." Some teachers see the issue differently. Jason Winder is a history teacher who carries a legal concealed firearm or gun at school. He said, "It's not about seeking out an active shooter. It's about giving me the best tools to keep my students and myself safe. I can't speak for everyone, but a firearm in my hand will be a lot more effective at stopping someone trying to harm my kids than us hiding in a corner. I'm Gregory Stockel.
Today, on our national parks journey, we head to the southeastern state of Kentucky. Here, you will find rolling hills and thick green forests. But beneath the land is a strange and silent underground world. One early explorer described it as grand, gloomy, and peculiar. Welcome to Mammoth Cave National Park.
Mammoth Cave is the longest known cave system in the world. It is 2 times as large as the world's second biggest cave system. Its size helped give it its name. Mammoth, as an adjective, means extremely large. Mammoth Cave National Park is in Kentucky's Green River Valley. The park covers over 20,000 hectares. It protects the river valley and hilly land, as well as the vast underground cave system. The U.S. Congress formed Mammoth Cave National Park in 1941. 40 years later, it was named a World Heritage Site. And in 1990, it became a UNESCO Biosphere Reserve Site. Researchers and explorers have mapped more than 600 kilometers of passageways in Mammoth Cave, and scientists continue to explore it.
Water formed the cave over millions of years. Other than the Green River, few sources of water exist above ground. That is because water seeps quickly into the earth. Soil made of broken down limestone absorbs the water. This has created a vast and complex system of chambers and passageways. A delicate and unique ecosystem exists inside the cave. More than 100 kinds of animals live in Mammoth Cave. Some of them live their whole lives in total darkness. Cave shrimp and many other kinds of eyeless, colorless species can be found. Mammoth Cave was once home to about 10 million bats. They included species like Indiana bats, big brown bats, little brown bats, and the eastern small-footed bat. Now they number in the thousands.
Humans first entered Mammoth Cave about 4,000 years ago. They discovered uses for minerals inside the cave. Researchers describe them as primitive miners. Humans explored Mammoth Cave for nearly 2,000 years. Then their exploration appears to have ended. The caves would not be explored again until the end of the 1700s. Many stories name John Houchins for rediscovering the cave. They say he was hunting in the area when he came upon a black bear. The bear was close to the entrance of the cave. Houchins shot the bear, but he failed to kill it. The bear ran, and Houchins followed. It led him into the cave. Experts do not agree on the exact year of Houchins' discovery, and some people question the story entirely. Slaves played many important roles at Mammoth Cave during the 1800s. During the War of 1812, slaves mined the cave for a mineral called saltpeter. It was used to produce ammunition used during battle. And in 1816, slaves began guiding visitors on cave tours. At the time, the cave was still privately owned.
One of the greatest early explorers of the cave was a slave named Stephen Bishop. He arrived at Mammoth Cave in 1838 when he was a teenager. He learned the tour paths from white guides. But Bishop wanted to push beyond the cave's toured areas. He set off to explore parts of the cave no human had ever seen. Bishop and a companion sought to cross an area called the Bottomless Pit. Its unknown darkness had stopped people from trying to go beyond it. But fear and darkness did not stop Bishop. The areas he discovered beyond Bottomless Pit are still open to visitors today. Bishop started naming different areas of the cave that he discovered: Fat Man's Misery, Cleveland Avenue, and Mammoth Dome, among others. He was also the first to discover a river running through the cave. Bishop created a map of Mammoth Cave in the early 1840s. It included 16 kilometers of passageways. Most of the passages had been discovered or explored by Bishop himself. His map remained in use for more than 40 years. Bishop gained his freedom in 1856, but he died the next year at the age of 37. His grave lies within Mammoth Cave National Park. It was Bishop who described Mammoth Cave as grand, gloomy, and peculiar.
For national park visitors who venture into the cave today, Bishop's description remains true. About 500,000 people tour the cave each year. They are among more than 2 million visitors to the park itself. Mammoth Cave National Park offers campsites for those who want to sleep under the stars. There is also a hotel in the park. And there are plenty of activities outside of the cave. People ride horses on the more than 100 kilometers of park trails. They also fish and boat in the park's rivers. But the main draw of Mammoth Cave National Park remains the dark mystery of an underground world with so much more to discover. I'm Katie Weaver.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.